to get back to the 30s again, how long were you involved in organising the unemployed? Was it throughout all the 30s?
Oh, I guess altogether it was about 5 years, 6 years. And then I began to get to establish my business a little bit then, you know, got that going a little bit, so I could make a living again. And then,
what business was that then?
Plumbing and heating. Yeah. And then, see, to go back again, during the 30s, I got working with a plumber and electrician combination, you know, and I wasn't working steady, but I get a little job from here and there, you know, and kept working along. And then I gathered up a few tools, and I gathered up a few fittings and so on. And then I thought, well, in between times, I'll go out and pick off some more and work on my own. And I go out and do a little job here and there. And then I got some books, started studying, and went to school and studied, of course, you know, and so on. And I got to get more knowledge, and then I just evolved from there. Well, to go back again into that state, when I was active in the unemployed movement towards the end of it, I was in the Communist Party, and they expelled me for Trotskyist leanings. So,
what were your Trotskyist leanings?
Well, I dared to stand up and fight for what I thought was right. I wasn't a yes man to the leader. In other words, if I thought that the guy was not doing what was right, or he was trying to involve people with something that was dangerous to the movement, and that I would say so. And this fella, I'll get to that point. This particular one that was instrumental in being expelled. It was only about 6 months later that he was expelled. So the party leadership in Vancouver came over to see me, and they said, "We want you to come back." And I said, "Oh no, I'm expelled. I'm okay." No, we want you to come back. We have clean house, and we know that you are right, and they were wrong. So we want you to come back and participate. I said, "No." I said, "I got my business, a little business, and I've got to devote my time to that." And I said, "I can't work 24 hours a day for the movement and any branch of it." "Well, all you have to do is go out and iron out difficulties in the various groups. So at the Lower Mainland here, if they got any trouble, you go out and iron out in the evening." I said, "Yeah, that's the beginning." But I says, "I know how involved I'll get in about a month or two." I says, "I'll be working all my time in the thing." I said, "No, I can't. If I can't feel that I can go into a movement and devote my time to it conscientiously and do a good, honest job for them, I don't want it. I don't want it to be half-hearted." So I said, "No," and I never did. I was never going to go back. But I could have gone back, you know, they invited me to. But that's where you run into these problems. This one fellow, particularly, we found out that he was in with the cops, and he was a farmer for the cops, see? And I have got nothing against cops. The boys are handicapped today. They're just the same as we are. They're helpless. They can't do any harm. They're going to stand up there and be shot at, you know. And then I think the cops are doing a good job. They're a good bunch of fellows, generally speaking. So we're not enemies of those. We are enemies of the system that creates these problems. That's all. That's all. The cops are working people. Same as we are. No different. They've got a job to do, and if they don't do it, somebody else does it. So they do their best, but their hands are tied. And they're down in Los Angeles. They tell me that they can't get cops anymore because they're bumping them off there several a month. So they just can't get them anymore. And that's the way it's... You see, capitalism buried itself, seeded its own destruction. Because it's exemplified all over the world. You don't have to take my word for it. You know, just open your eyes and see it. And the unemployed movement was... a good educator, it brought in a lot of people into the CCF movement at that time. They went from that into the CCF because they were only failed bank disease at that time. We hadn't indoctrinated them enough to go into the left wing. So they were just failed banks, so they went into the CCF movement and then from to the NDP. And Harold Winch, quite a well-known man, some time before you. Well, when the old man was active in the movement, you know, really active and a wonderful man, Harold Winch wouldn't have anything to do with it. He ridiculed me. Oh, you guys are wasting your time. He said, what do you fool around with that stuff for? You'll never get to what you want. You'll never get socialism in Canada. You'll never. That's the way he talked. And so one day Harold and I were arguing, and the old lady put Winch put us out in the back porch. We were still arguing out there. So I said to him, I said, Harold, I said, all you need is a good bash in the head by a policeman's club. 2 months later, he got it. Big deal. He was walking there, and not going to bother me. I'm not nothing to do with these guys. I'm walking through, bang, down he went, broke his arm, you know. And that started, went, woke him up. And about 2 months after that, he became active with the old man, and a year and a half or so, he was in Victoria. See, that was his beginning. That's all he needed, was a little tap on the head.
You didn't finish telling us about the person who got you put out of the Communist Party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they kicked him out. They did murder him like that, but they kicked him out of the party and they put in new leadership. I don't know who they were, as a matter of fact, because I wasn't in there at that time.
What was it that they said you had done?
He had done?
No, you.
Oh.
When they got
well, it was Trotskyist leanings, right wing deviation, failing to follow the party line, and oh, this is a trumped up charge by the local leadership. This wasn't the national leadership, this is the local leadership. Because I dared to stand up and be counted as an oppositionist to what he was trying to put over, and not only him, there were two the other side. And I just didn't go along with it. See, I like to be convinced that we're all on the right track and we're all conscientious, we're all honest, all that. But when I see a guy that's a little bit off color, I question him, you see. And that was the reason. It was nothing serious. I never did anything to a serious violation of the party program. It's just one of those things. And that comes in all the time. That happens in all movements. Well, here is an illustration of the Liberal Party, you know. Same thing, same idea, gee. You see, the old slogan again comes up, the old rhyme. There is not to reason why, there is but to do and die. All into the valley of death rode the 600. That used to apply, but it's not applying anymore. It's changed somewhat. I want to know why I'm going in there to die, you know. I want to know why, and if they can't put up a good reason why, I'm not going. Simple as that. You see, that is what the young folks are doing today, younger folks. They are starting to reason why. Why is this? Why is that? Why are we having unemployment? Why are we having all these holdups? Why are we having this? Why? And they began to think and say, well, now, what are we going to do about it? Can't do anything. More policemen not going to solve it. No, an army's not going to solve it. But we have to go back further than that. We have to go down to the basis of what's causing this thing and make people live as human beings, not like animals, like they're chased all over the country and pushed hither and thither. No, you've got to get down to the humanitarian principle of life so that we work together. Now, you say today there's an isolation between the young and the old. There shouldn't be. There should be perfect harmony between the old generation and the young generation. But we have to get down to an understanding and to why it is the old generation are looking at things from the horse and buggy days and the young folks looking at it from the modernistic days. They shouldn't be that. We should all be working together to a common objective, to understand one another, know why the young folks act as they do and conduct themselves as they do, and the old folks, and they have to try to explain to the old folks why. But you'll never change a lot of the old folks because they're set in their ways. And same with the churches. Most of them today in churches are young folks, old folks. And the young folks are gradually going away from it. So you can't change the old folks. So the only thing is to make them as happy as we can make them and leave them as contented as possible, let them go their merry way. What else can you do? You know, I guess I'm a little different than some of the older folks. I'm more modernistic in my thinking. And I got that through being active in the labor movement, I suppose, all those years, you see. I was in the trade union movement, and in the unemployed movement, in the communist movement, the socialist movement, and I suppose that broadened me out a little bit, not quite so sectarian and narrow as some people are. So